Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 8th of February. You're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. If you want to get involved with today's viewpoints, then the numbers are as follows. Excuse me. Let's just try this one, shall we? Marvellous.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Joined in the studio today by Roslyn Scott-Gibb for the first time this year. Let's have a look at the papers. Going to be doing a variety of issues, including the burning of books. We'll be looking at the continuing fallout from Boris Johnson's claims relating to Keir Starmer and Jimmy Savile. We're also looking at the situation in the Ukraine. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. But the papers first. Starmer flees from mob, and Kate reads bedtime book. Talking about books, the Kate seems to be reading bedtime books for people. Let's have a look at what's making the front pages this morning. Starting off with today, many papers lead on calls for Boris Johnson to apologise for comments made about Sir Keir Starmer after protesters targeted the Labour leader outside Parliament. The Times says six Conservative MPs were amongst the MPs who linked the incident to the Prime Minister's false claim made in the Common last week that the Labour leader failed to prosecute serial sex offender Jimmy Savile. This is why words matter. This is why truth matters, says the Daily Mirror. A Labour source tells The Guardian that Mr. Johnson and his cabinet chose to lie down with dogs, and now the whole lot of them are covered in fleas. In an editorial, the Daily Express describes the protesters as dangerous fools who should be taken to task for this affront to our democracy. According to the iNewspaper, Conservative MPs have been told they can stay away from Parliament until next Thursday, when the Commons begins a 10-day recess. The paper says Mr. Johnson believes he will get a fresh chance to reset his premiership if he manages to avoid a confidence vote before the recess. An MP told the paper the government's attitude had been reduced to, "What do we have to do to get through another day?" Writing in the Times, the Prime Minister warns Russian President Vladimir Putin that he'll make a foolish mistake if he invades Ukraine, because it will only strengthen NATO and force the West to bring about much of what he seeks to prevent. Mr. Johnson also says, that's a 10-euro fine, by the way, for having your phone on. Also says that he is prepared to send Typhoon fighter jets to Romania and Bulgaria and warships to the Black Sea. He vows that Britain's support of Europe and NATO will remain unconditional and immovable. The Daily Telegraph says the government is preparing to approve 6 North Sea gas and oil fields this year. It says Chancellor Rishi Sunak has asked the business secretary to fast-track the licences because of concern in the Treasury about the economic impact of making the UK a net zero carbon emitter by 2050. A Whitehall source says North Sea resources were important not only for jobs and tax revenue, but also for domestic energy security. Several papers, including the Daily Mail, highlight a study by the University of Chicago, which found that getting more sleep helps people reduce their calorie intake and lose weight. By spending an extra hour in bed, they reduce calorie intake by 270 calories, on average, the equivalent of 3 chocolate digestive biscuits, which I had last night before going to bed. A more radical method of losing weight features on the Telegraph's front page. The paper says the NHS is to start prescribing weekly injections that suppress the appetite. Researchers say the jabs called Wegovy, that's nothing to do with the cabinet minister, Wegovy, are almost as effective as weight loss surgery. And those are your front pages for better or worse. Just have a quick look to see exactly what they're saying. Starting off from the top of my paper pile today, today's top of my pile today is the Metro with a picture of Kate, book at bedtime. She's wearing a rather interesting sort of Nordic sweater polo combination. And also Keir flees hate mob. Labour leader is rescued by cops from thugs shouting Savile abuse. Police rescue Starmer from mob as PM faces crunch 24 hours. That is the front of the eye. The Guardian, angry MPs blame Johnson's poison after anti-vaxxers set upon Starmer. The Mirror, this is why words matter. This is why truth matters. Keir Starmer attacked after Boris Johnson's disgraceful Savile lie. Also on the front, the Daily Mail, King Charles will live at Buckingham Palace and Cambridges may move to Windsor. Picture of Duchess of Cambridge in that sweater. And also a license to clean up the web. At last, porn sites forced to block children by checking users' age. Looking at that as well, looking at the other one, the Times, they've got Jimmy Carr on the front page as well. He's in hot water after a joke, quote unquote, he made about the Holocaust and gypsy communities, traveller communities. But the main story, again, apart from picture of Kate in that jumper, Johnson accused by own MPs of inciting mob against Starmer. Also, Daily Express, Boris, Rishi is loyal and we're united on problems. And also a picture of Kate. The Daily Telegraph, North Sea oil fired up amid net zero row. They've also got that jab. A lot of papers have got that jab story on this morning. Financial Times, ECB rate expectations follow up Greek and Italian borrowing costs. And a picture of Vladimir Putin and President Macron on an extremely large table, having a talk about Macron seeks to avoid war. The Sun, Prem stars vile attack on cat. West Ham Zuma boots pet across floor. And finally, the Daily Star splashes on this study, which found an extra hour and a quarter of sleep each night can lead to people consume fewer calories each day. Finally, a weight loss program we support, the paper said. And those are your headlines, for better or worse, this Tuesday, the 8th of February.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm joined in the studio for the first time this year by Roslyn Scott-Gibb. Good morning to you, Roslyn.
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, everybody.
Good to have you with us this morning.
Lovely to be back.
How have the first 5 weeks of 2022 been treating you?
Good. Yes, I have no complaints.
And I'm very impressed by your mask, by the way. The multicoloured, the rainbow-coloured mask.
Yeah, I know. It's nice, isn't it? Where would we be without our masks?
952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34645-996795. Good morning. I am reading messages this week. Thank you so much. Checking users' ages. Richard laughing out loud. Telegraph, this already coming in. Telegraph misled on green tariffs. They aren't 20 to 25%. They're only 8% according to Ofgem. Thank you very much for that one. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Ros, what has been, what's your viewpoint today, Ros? What's been crossing your radar that's got the blood boiling and you want to share with us?
Well, the last thing last night, although there's quite a lot that can, you know, has a reaction, but just on banning books. Now, this is primarily in the Tennessee School Board, and it's so extraordinary. It came up primarily over this mouse, M-A-U-S, and I saw an interview of the author who's an intellectual and very serious, and although I haven't read the book. Now, they've banned it because it's to do with the Holocaust, and it's about rats and other animals.
Well, yeah, I mean, mouse is a representation of the Holocaust, where the victims are portrayed as rats or mice.
Mice.
And the oppressors are, and it's an evocative, I mean, it's a standard work. It's famous because of its hard hitting, you know, the way it uses, you know, an allegorical form, if you like, a representational form, animals instead of the victims of the Holocaust.
So it's a classic.
Yeah.
And they're now banning it in the, and a number of other classic books. And this really, really upsets me. And now they're going to the libraries, and they're going to go through the libraries, and there's a few other states that this is happening as well. And this is the school boards and the parents behind the school boards. Now, I have a person, I love books, and I've always loved books. My father was a great reader, and by the time I was, I mean, I would go to the library and withdraw 8 books for 2 weeks and read them all. And by the time I was 12, I was reading the books my father read. Now, my father was very strict with me, but I could read any book, and I was reading his books, and we would then discuss them. And the other thing that, so first of all, it's in a controlled environment in the school system. So it's part of a curriculum where the teacher is trying to get across certain ideas. And it should never be so limited that you can't read books around whatever subject it is. Now, the second thing is how freedom of speech is such a strong issue in the United States, that you can say anything you want. If you listen to Fox News for 5 minutes, it's full of lies and misinformation. And this is legal. And yet, they're going to ban, or they've already done it, certain books that give out a certain point of view to do with very, very important issues like the Holocaust or anti-Semitism. These are important issues that all students, whether it's grade 8, by grade 8, you know what's going on in the world.
Well, grade 8, sorry, because I'm not up with the American system or whatever system. What age is grade 8?
Okay, so that's the last year of the public school. So you would be 12, 13.
Right.
And then you go to high school for 4, in the States it's 4 years, in Canada it's 5 years. And so these students, you know, are thinking and aware, and it's really important that they're exposed to different points of view. And I'm so upset also about universities and the getting rid of professors and banning certain subjects in. And this is not just in the United States. This is the UK as well, in the universities. I mean, this is the whole anti-education.
I mean, do you think that in the case of something like mouse, this is perhaps revisionist history coming to the fore? I mean, the fact that, you know, the people are saying, okay, well, there is a lot of Holocaust denial in the States. I mean, is that what you're thinking? Why they have banned mouse?
No. Well, apparently they banned it because there was some talk of nudity and language. Some of the profanity, violence, nudity.
Right.
That was the reason. Nothing to do with the real issues.
Right. I mean, we've had, you know, books, and so they have a very strange. There have been some very strange decisions. I think, you know, weren't the Harry Potter books coming under fire at one point because they said that they were promoting witchcraft and stroke Satanism, etc.
You know, I haven't read them, but I'd like to because I certainly admire the author. And she was directly responsible for so many young people getting back to enjoying books and reading books again. And they were geared, each one, for the next age group. They're wonderful, wonderful reading material. And even my students, like some of my Chinese students, they're learning English because it's very good English and readable English. And they love them.
9527 84000 is the phone number. This in on the WhatsApp, +34645 996795. Tennessee is a landlocked state. Surely it's available in the border states, or you can even get a copy online or an ebook. End of problem. And ironically, Tennessee's slogan is America at its best. Tennessee's politics are currently dominated by the Republican Party. Republicans currently hold the state's U.S. Senate seats, 7 out of 9 congressional seats, 73 out of 99 state House seats, and 27 out of 33 state Senate seats. Democratic strength is largely concentrated in Nashville, Memphis.
Yeah, well, we know all this. It's not that you can't get the information. It's that it should be taught in the schools and it should be available at the universities. It should be openly discussed. It's part of the curriculum. They've taken these books off the curriculum and now moving them out of the libraries. It's the principle of the thing. Of course, these things, you can get them on in another state, perhaps, unless they move across all states.
952-784000 is the phone number. What else have you brought to the table today, Rosalind? What else is crossing your radar?
Well, I had to laugh this morning. This Russian, I think, was he Russian or described Boris as Boris the Uncombed.
We've got a caller on the phone. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles, it's John Marbella. Good
morning, John.
I tried to get you last week, but there's no answer. You had a bit of a problem there. Anyway.
I wasn't on last week, mate, so therefore.
I know. Anyway, do you remember that man of the cloth you had a couple of weeks ago? What was he, a priest or a vicar or what?
Father Louis, yeah.
It's what?
Yes, he was. He was a priest. Yes, he was a vicar.
A priest.
Yes.
He said he had no flock. So, and he said he's swanning up and down the coast.
Hey, whoa! He's the head of the Anglican Church on the Costa del Sol. So he's not saying he's not got a flock. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So he's going up and down the coast. He didn't tell you. He said he's meeting people one to one. He never opened up on that. What sort of people he's meeting?
How do you mean?
Now, at the same time, when I mentioned churches are closing down and places to go in London, which are, you know, he was in denial.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and okay. Well, I can tell him, 425 churches closed down in the last 10 years.
Right, and then you said the reason it's closing down is because of, quote-unquote, the immigrants, didn't you?
Sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Then you said, quote-unquote, and the reason that there are certain areas of no-go areas are, quote-unquote, the immigrants, quote-unquote, didn't you?
Yeah. Now, the thing is...
Yeah, go on.
You asked him a question. You remember asking the question just before they went, what was the most important question?
I'm sorry, just say that again.
Yeah. Before they left, and just as the last question, you said to them, give us your question that worries you most. Do you remember that?
It's a couple of weeks ago now, but please.
Okay,
please.
I'll tell you. Yeah. I'll tell you. He said it was obesity. Now, for me, my most important thing is children, babies, women getting murdered in England.
Right.
And the best he can come up with is obesity. Do me a favour.
You're basically having a pop at the head of the Anglican Church.
Yes, I am.
You are.
Yes,
okay.
I am. Yes, I am.
Well, if Louis is listening, I'm sure he'll come back. Presumably, you sound like
he's in denial.
He's in denial.
You can get it off of Google. 425 churches closed down.
425.
And the other thing is,
on,
when the people take Black Lives Matter to take to the knee, for me, it's babies, children, women getting murdered. That I would take the knee for.
Right, okay, well, that is your prerogative, but, you're getting a few things confused there, because Black Lives Matter is an entirely different thing to murder, isn't it? Let's be honest about it. Sorry?
We're talking about murder with children and babies in England, that's the number one, not obesity.
Fine, okay, you seem to... Okay, So we've got obesity. You're having a pop of obesity, the Anglican Church on the Costa del Sol, and the fact that people are taking
the knee. And it's denial. You said they are not closing down the churches.
Right. Well,
425. Get it on Google.
Get it on Google. All right, then. Thank you for your call in. Have a
okay,
good,
my friend.
Have a
bye.
Good, peaceful day. Ross.
Sorry, I'm connected with the Anglican Church. Who is Louis, the head of the Anglican Church?
Father Louis Durand. He was in Malaga. Yeah.
He's not the head of the Anglican Church. There's a bishop in Gibraltar who's
yeah,
the
but
head.
We're talking about the Costa del Sol, Ross. Anyway, so just a quick break and back for more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the numbers to get hold of us and touch with us today. Giles Brown here, live from the studio of TRE Talk Radio Europe. Going to Orwellian, banning books. One comes in on the WhatsApp. This in from Gary. Good morning to you. Sorry, isn't it the woke left that's restricting free speech with their false PC agenda? Also this one from Dirk. Good morning to you as well. Morning. Red states are champions of dumbing down their youngsters, preparing for the next Fox News generation. This one in posted info on churches closing down, but it has nothing to do with immigrants. Okay, and this one in as well. Father Louis Durand has recently been appointed to the Church of England position of Area Dean of Southern Spain and Gibraltar, a role that will support the work of the Bishop and the Archdeacon of Gibraltar. Thank you very much for that, for clearing that one up. I was just dealing with the various bits and pieces. I may have got my clergy mixed up. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Some more things coming in here at the moment. Let's go to the lines. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Well, that's an interesting one. We've got a bit of a musical interlude there. Thank you very much for the Burt Bacharach fan club. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's me from Malaga.
Good morning.
Matthew, maybe you remember me.
Yes, I do, Matthew.
Well, I would like to share for 2 seconds reflection to be a European student in the States. And this was for 20 years ago already. What I was surprised, because my hobby is to travel by libraries and university libraries to check out what they have and do my studies also. But what I was surprised during my trips is that I could the books, example, in some universities, Darwin didn't exist in their collections. And other books about Native American history didn't exist. They say you have to check it on internet or on Google, mm-hmm. but as books, they didn't have it. And other many, many strange things. I even went to Salt Lake City to pay a visit a friend of mine. And the Book of Darwin didn't exist there. Many scientific books didn't exist there. So,
but
this
Salt Lake City is obviously is the head of yes, of the Mormon Church. You kind of expect that, wouldn't you?
No, but you know, it is a university. It's a university with an international degree, with interchange of students, and they have degrees that are accepted by other boards of educational boards around the world. So I mean, this it's not local colleges or local small places. It's places that are well established, and in the same well established are denying their students of being able to read other books what they think it's not fitting or fitting. Example, in same library I couldn't find the books of Schiller, Goethe, Nietzsche, all those German, French philosophers. So this kind of silence of book burning with quotation mark, that you just don't buy it, It's for me the most dangerous to our so-called civilized, educated time of era.
Roz is nodding her head in appreciation of that. Roz?
Well, yes, I'm just agreeing with you 100%. And, of course, so many of the American universities, you pay a lot of money, you know, a good $50,000 a year in many cases. So you're paying top prices. As you say, you've got students from all over the world wanting a degree from these universities that are limiting the education tremendously. I mean, there's nothing on slavery, apparently. I mean,
that's true. I'm sorry. Sorry, Roz, I interrupted you. That also is something. Example, I have been I was born in South America, and I have been studying therefore about South American history, about the Spanish colonial time, and I wanted to know more about Spanish colonial time before they became part of Spanish territories, like in Mexico. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. So I will end now my conversation, let other calls to come in, but I just want to say this. It made my skin crippled, because every time I tried to have a conversation with students and professors, there was like blank. You couldn't get through this wall of, it was not even denial, because if they deny something, they know something, but they couldn't deny because they didn't have the knowledge.
Thanks. Thank you for the call
in
there.
I wish you all good. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much indeed. 952-78-4000, the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. This one in on studio@tre.radio. This is the usual trope. Drags up, if you haven't got the maturity to let something go and drag up all the stock memes, paedophile, child killers, blah, 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 blah. Can't you tell a few of your contributors to get a life? I'll keep that one anonymous. 952-78-4000. Salt Lake City is an awful place. Couldn't wait to leave as soon as I got there. Analysis of data from the annual British Social Attitude Survey and the biannual European Social Survey, don't subscribe anyway, was carried out by Stephen Bullivant, Professor of Theology and Sociology of Religion at St. Mary's University, Twickenham. The rise of the non-religious is arguably the story of British religious history over the past half century or so, he says in the introduction to his report, The No-Religion Population of Britain. It paints a picture of a Britain in which Christianity has seen a dramatic decline, although figures suggest a recent bottoming out in recent years. The avowedly non-religious, sometimes known as nones, now make up 48% of the British population. Anglicans account for 17.1%, Catholics 8.7%, and other Christian denominations 17.2%, and non-Christian religions 4.8%. Thank you, Richard, for filling me in on my theological gap. So church numbers seem to be bottoming out, Roz.
Well, I think they have been over the last, say, 40 years. It's been a general decline, and I don't know why. And also, what's quite interesting in other countries, it's I mean, in Africa, Christianity, I mean, I guess the missionaries did a really good job, but it's much higher and more extreme in Africa. And China, young people in China are very attracted to Christianity.
952-78-4000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
John Dodd.
Hello, John. Good morning to you.
Morning. I was listening to... I found one thing wrong. And
only one, John? I must be doing something badly wrong then. Go on.
Well, the lady with her mask, she shouldn't be wearing a mask, not in the studio, for God's sake. But
John.
Anyway...
Yes.
Getting back to Darwin, yes. He's the man that I remember... not physically, literally remember, but I've read about Darwin. He failed to see, and I've been to Australia, flown the length and breadth of it and driven all over it. It's an amazing country. There's nobody living there when I went there.
Right, okay. Well, I mean,
the thing about Darwin, he failed to see 7 million Aborigines.
Okay, John. Yeah.
He never mentioned them, did he? He never made any pretty pictures of them and all the other things he did, but he failed to mention them.
Okay, John, thank you for that one. Good to hear from you as always. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Don't forget, we are also on Instagram, on Talk Radio Europe Official, and we're on Twitter. We tweet as well. You can find us in that way. I'm joined in the studio by Roslyn Scott-Gibb.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Just a quick Darwin update for you. Darwin spent basically 2 months in Australia. In Sydney, travelled over the Blue Mountains to Bathurst, explored Hobart, Tasmania, of course, and spent a week in King George Sound in Western Australia. So I don't think he ventured further than that then. So just to clear up a point there. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email. I'm joined in the studio by Roslyn Scott-Gibb. Roslyn, we're covering books, we're covering all sorts of business. Do you want to talk about Camilla at this point?
Oh, we could bring in Camilla.
Yes, Queen's Consort, Queen's Consort and all that.
Yes, yes. We could talk about Camilla. You know, I'm not anti-Camilla at all. You know, in fact, now this will get a rise out of quite a lot of people, but I mean, it is a wonderful love story. It is a very serious...
I can hear the sharpening of pens
exactly.
As you speak.
I can hear phones rising. But it is a very wonderful, successful love story. And I think it's also very brave of the Queen to make the point now, knowing, you know, how controversial, how delicate the whole thing is. And obviously, Charles has pressured her for years and years and years, but not to leave it open and to...
You know, in the world that we are currently living in, unless you're in a parallel universe, there's something about the monarchy. You know, Elizabeth celebrating the 70th anniversary of her accession to the throne. Of course, her father's death. The coronation was 1953, but. thank you, Richard. I can't possibly read that one out, but thank you for that reminder. Queen Elizabeth has stood for values, etc. You can argue throughout the most turbulent period, 70 years, where the country has changed to unrecognizable. You think of, you know, the Commonwealth, Empire, etc. As well as the technological advances, the internet, space travel, almost jet travel, almost. So, the fact that she is still there, she's still relevant. Is she still relevant? Give me a call, 952-78-4000, to the society in which we live. But this whole thing about, you describe it as a marvelous love story. There are those who still mourn Diana, Princess of Wales. I think the Queen's decision to announce this was well timed, because the last thing that we want, I'm getting irrelevant, laugh out loud emojis being sent to me. The last thing that the monarch wants in the fullness of time, when Charles takes over as King Charles III, as he'll be then, is a debate about what to call Camilla. I mean, that's the last thing, you know, and dragging up all those. I'm not saying in the style of Boris Johnson we should draw a line and move on, but you know, the last thing you would want to celebrate a new monarch at that point, and not have a frenzied debate.
A lot of controversy. But I agree. I think it's good timing, and it's a good idea. I think she deserves it.
952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email, Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official, and relevant, laugh out loud. They are an irrelevance, surely, much like the whole royal family, Britain's biggest benefits cheats. Thank you for that. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. If you want to get involved, with today's show, if there's something else that's crossing your radar and you want to get involved as well, please let me know. I'd be delighted to speak to you today. I'm joined in the studio by Rosalind Scott Gibb. Rosalind.
Are we moving on to Putin?
We can move on to Putin.
Yes, attention-seeking behaviour.
By Putin. You mean threatening to invade a neighbourhood country? That you could say that, couldn't you? Yes.
Yes, I think he... nobody knows. Nobody knows what he's doing next, and they wonder, from my understanding, because I obviously don't know any better than anybody else, that whether he knows what he's doing next. My guess, I'm allowed an opinion, is that he does love to cause chaos and throw everything up, and to see just how much power he has. And he may well have been really quite disappointed that he has less backing than he thought. And I think I go along with the opinion that friendship with China is very short term, that that's just for the time being, and so it's not terribly important. So I think at the they all realize they have to make sure he can not lose face. That's what I think. I mean, I don't think he's going to march toward Kiev or enter Ukraine. Although obviously he would like to take control, but he's lost any support he had in after 2014. They've banded together. Ukraine is very strong and ready to fight.
But I mean,
very democratic.
There has been movements or rumors that there is a stretch of just west of Crimea, and again, the reason the Russia annexed Crimea was that they were saying because it had a large Russian ethnic population there, and they're now saying, well, there's, you know, obviously bordering on the edges of Crimea, there are obviously more ethnic Russians, so therefore they could annex that region. That's the worrying thing.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is 30% of Ukraine have a Russian background history. Yeah. But in the last few years, they've joined together. They like democracy, and they've joined together, and they're ready to fight against Russia.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Looking at some more bits and pieces. Attention-seeking behaviour. Oh, Putin, I thought we were talking about Prince Charles. Russian troops aren't on the Ukrainian border for a holiday, are they? Brinkmanship, I think it is. This is the one in from Alan and Torre Azul. Excuse me, a wonderful love story. We're harking back to... Yeah, well, here we go. This woman was married twice before Charles and yet continued a relationship with him and during his own marriage to Diana. No way can this woman be any type of queen, in my opinion, and him less a king.
She wasn't married twice.
But she was married to Charles Parker Bowles, wasn't she?
Yeah, but that's the only one.
She
wasn't married twice before.
Just once before. Well, she was married.
They're saying twice before. Once before.
Another thing is saying twice.
Once before.
Yeah.
And then we have President Biden standing up again last night and saying, "We will shut down that pipeline if President Putin takes a step into the Ukraine." So it's all.
What were your thoughts of Boris Johnson, as we're seeing pictures on the news of American troops arriving in Poland? What were your thoughts on Boris Johnson saying that, flying to Ukraine last week to lend his support to the beleaguered Ukrainian government, saying if Russia puts one toe cap into Ukraine, there will be trouble, basically?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think really many Europeans have a lot of respect for him at all. The way he's behaved more recently, and his history. So I don't think people. I don't think they take him seriously or would listen to anything he has to say.
952-78-4000.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Always live, always lively. Giles Brown here with Viewpoint on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. Joined in the studio by Rosalind Scott Gibb. Richard says there are more ethnic Russians in Latvia. Should they be invaded? Russia, six of its warships are heading to Black Sea for drills. That's coming in on IFAX, 952-78-4000. Now, we've got international diplomatic efforts ongoing amid military tension between Russia and Ukraine. Russia and international leaders continued yesterday as Germany announced it would boost troop deployment in Lithuania. That's according to AFP. This comes ahead of a meeting in the White House between US President Joe Biden and Olaf Scholz, the new Chancellor for Germany, for the two pillars of the Transatlantic Alliance to reaffirm their strong commitment to NATO and Ukraine. That's what the LA Times called it. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron flew to Moscow yesterday for a face-to-face meeting across a very large table with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The situation is now too complicated to expect decisive changes after one meeting. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said at a press briefing. That's according to NBC News. A very tense atmosphere remains. A very tense atmosphere. I mean, do you think that Putin is going to take any notice whatsoever of what various...
he's not going to get what he wants. I mean, what he wants is that NATO will not accept
Ukraine joining NATO.
Ever.
Exactly.
Ever. That, and then he's not going to get it. Of course he would like that. It gives him, it could give him more confidence. It's not going to happen. I do think President Macron is diplomatic and is a good diplomat.
Right.
And he's keeping the whole point, I guess, is to try to keep the negotiations going. But I can't see what they're going to give him because President Putin just wants too much. And they're not, thank God, they're not going to back down. Now, Scholz, Chancellor Scholz is nervously saying, yes, we're on your side, although he absolutely doesn't want to... make a commitment about the gas line.
Right. I mean, that's the other thing.
He's trying to avoid it at all costs.
Johnson was on the other week saying, you know, the war was going to be... I didn't say it last week, but he'd said in previous week the war could turn into another Chechnya, which, okay, that's an interesting comparison to make. But rather than hitting them with sanctions, I mean, Russia can just turn off the gas tap, couldn't it? And that would... I mean, at a time that's... people around Europe are seeing energy crisis spiral ever higher.
Yeah, but everybody's coming in, like the Australians and the Americans, they're all coming in and saying, no, we can supply you. It's okay, cut it off.
How are we going to get
Russia,
gas?
Cut it off.
How are we going to get gas from? I mean, that's going to be a struth. That's going to be a pipeline and a half.
I don't know how they do it.
Exactly.
But they can do it.
French officials now say that the talks with Macron, during talks with Macron, Putin committed to no new military initiatives near Ukraine, and that he promised to pull Russian troops back from Belarus at the end of the exercises there on February the 20th. However, as Gregor has just come in, if Putin said that, then no worries. Everybody can relax, because Putin said in 2014, Russia has no plans to annex Crimea.
Yeah, I mean, you can't trust a word he says, can you?
I like the way you're straight to the point, Roz, so you really are. Also looking at the Polish government has announced, this is another thing as well, because, you know, Poland is preparing for a wave of up to a million people if Russia attacks Ukraine. And the problem with that is whether that Russia can... rather than Poland has the capacity to deal with such a huge influx of people fleeing a war. I mean, we had enough trouble with people fleeing war in Syria, for example, you know, through Turkey and then into Europe. So we suddenly get up to a million Ukrainians fleeing into Poland. It's going to put incredible pressure over the whole system in Central Europe.
Well, the only ones that really seem to think that that Russia will continue, will go over the border and attack, is Biden, President Biden. And that's why he's so strongly, I will shut down that pipeline, and we will, you know, they're emphasizing all these sanctions.
And we've got a caller, and we got a caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRV. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gustavankos.
Morning, Kate.
Morning. On Putin and related issues, in the early 1990s, I was in Latvia, and it was to do with an international European educational do.
Right.
Because of that, got to see, talk to some impressive Latvians. They'd just got their independence from Russia, from the USSR, etc.
The Baltic Spring and all that.
Yeah, that's right. But you got quite good conversations, like the head of the inspectorate was of schools was saying the trouble now was the independent Latvians were cutting off they were cutting back on the Russian
right
block. Now, I think it was about a third of people living in Latvia were Russian, first generation, second generation, third generation, because that's how Stalin controlled the USSR, was shifting parts of populations around. Mm. So this is going to keep on rising. The leaders of Crimea were, their rights as citizens were being cut back, and that fueled a very pro-Russia movement in Crimea.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call in, Kate. Good to, and I, and fascinating that you were in the Baltic states at that time. Got another call coming in. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. It's Cookie.
Morning, Cookie.
I might lose you because I'm heading into the tunnel, so I'll call back.
All right.
Sorry.
It's okay.
As
every other woman in my life cuts me short just as I'm mid-flow. But thank you so much for that one, Cookie. 9527 84000. Good morning to Elizabeth in Brighton, who lives in Brighton. Said, hi, the gas is frozen, then shipped as liquid gas.
Thank you.
Hang on, say that again.
Thank you.
Stay safe. And
if the will does be away.
Exactly. Brighton's finest. Let us know exactly how to ship. Thank you for that, Richard. Thank you. You are, well, I would be nowhere without Richard's keeping me on my toes at all times. 9527 84000. Yes, Roz.
Just one on what Kate was saying. Apparently, the German president is going to Latvia on the 15th, 16th of February to discuss their constitution. So it's ongoing. It's ongoing. So they're not moving over.
It is a little bit disturbing that he's got, you know, Putin's got, what is it, 70,000, 100,000 troops. Ah, we've got calls coming in left. It's always the way with
you
lot. It's always the way. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's the name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Johnny Mihas.
Hi, John.
I'm not guessing. When gas is highly pressurised, it turns to liquid.
Hence the LP. Yes.
Yeah, and that's how it gets pumped along the pipelines, and how it gets into our little orange bottles for our heaters.
Ah.
It's pressurised and it becomes liquid.
You're talking to the man who obviously flunked chemistry or anything to do with that, John. Thank you very much for that.
Well,
good to have you. Where would we be without that?
From a 3-year investigation of the North Thames Gas Board.
Right.
We had to find out lots about gas.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, John. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. I'm back. I'm out of the tunnel.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. I find it hilarious. I did see Joe Biden's comments this morning saying that he's going to turn off the Nord Stream pipeline. It's like, well, that's controlled by Germany anyway, so you're going to have to put an immense amount of pressure onto Germany to do that, which will then mean Europe's gas is cut off, which I don't think is going to happen. And again, if you keep poking a bear, it's going to bite. It's like you keep pulling a dog's tail, it's going to turn around and bite you. So they just need to stop.
The problem is, you can see why the Ukrainians are more than a little nervous, can't you, with 70,000 troops on the border?
Yeah, I know, but when you have America amassing its troops on the Ukrainian-Russian border as well, as a sovereign nation, you're going to protect your border, aren't you? Because the invasion may come from US soldiers, it may come from Ukrainians. So whatever's going on, it's not good, and it's causing instability for everybody and causing unnecessary worry when we've got more than enough to worry about.
Just got one in. Nord Stream AG is not controlled by Germany. Thank you for that. Roz?
I thought it was.
You're making it sound as if it's the Americans' fault, whereas it's obviously it's obviously the Russians who are moving forward and being the aggressors, and Europe and the US are trying as best they can to stop him, judging from experience and the way he behaves.
Okay, so we're going on what's happened. I understand we're going on what's happened before, but none of us are there on the front line seeing this and seeing what is happening. So all the news is being fed to us, and I think they seriously want to cause problems for Russia. I think they want to bankrupt Russia by engaging Russia into another conflict. Whatever it is, and whoever's side the problem is on, they need to come to the table, they need to sit down as grown adults and talk about it. We do not need another conflict.
Cookie, thanks for that. The bongos have beaten us. We'll be back for more Viewpoint after the national and international news.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. Always live, always lively. With you for the next 55 minutes or so. It's straight to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning. It's Marlene in Kelpie.
Good morning, Marlene.
Just to give my viewpoint is...
Yes, please.
...this thing with Putin and what's happening, yes, that we're talking about. Well, for me, if you really look at China, they're buying up many, many countries in the world. And so when I look at Putin Western world, the United States, and I'm afraid the latter of the United States, UK, need an enemy. And they're looking at Russia because it's not quite so powerful as China. But all I can say is this. With Putin, it may be right or wrong, whatever he's doing, but it's in a way, it's in his own backyard. But the fact is, I believe, China wants the world. That's the difference.
Okay? Marlene, the way that you said that was absolutely brilliant. China wants the world, does it?
I believe so.
Okay.
It's only a question of time.
Only a question of time.
I keep seeing that they're buying all over the place. Now, at the moment, they're in Argentina, seeing that the Falklands
belong
to Argentina.
Yes, that was interesting.
You know, they're talking in anything. And they're building, they're paying up the universities in Britain, practically. The amount of money is unbelievable.
Marlene.
And so it's bit by bit. And you know that the Chinese, in this respect, they will take their time. They don't rush it. They have an idea, they'll take years to get there, steadily but surely. And that's how I see them. And that's why I believe... We're talking all the time about Russia. I'm not an enemy of China either.
I imagine that Beijing is breathing a sigh of relief there, Marlene.
Pardon?
Yes, sorry, go on.
I'm sorry, you carry on.
No, it's all right. I just said that, no, you're not an enemy of China. I imagine that Beijing is breathing a sigh of relief.
No, I'm not
there.
An enemy. I'm an enemy of nobody, to be honest with you. I like history and I look at it in a very... I stand aside, if you know what I mean. I stand on one side and look at it in the respect of history and what I think they're doing and why, and taking note of what they're doing to give me an answer to something.
Marlene, thank you. Thank you very much for calling. Take care and care. I'd love to hear from you. 952-78-4000. I'll let Lucy do the bits with the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm joined in the studio by Roslyn Scott Gibb. Roslyn.
Well, I agree with Marlene in the fact that, I mean, I for one, and many others, have been watching China rape Africa for about the last 30 years. And
you heavily invest in Africa.
Very effectively. But the most succinct comment I heard the other day was that China and Russia won't stay close friends. I mean, China's not that interested in Russia because China's on the rise economically and Russia's on the decline.
Let's go live to the lines. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Gray.
Morning, Gray. How are you, my friend? Good to hear from you.
I'm fine.
Is it too late to say Happy New Year?
No, let's do it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And what a week it's been for you, eh?
It's been a great week for me on the football field. I'm sick of people talking about giant killers, though, Giles, because they forget we're double European champions.
Yes, anyway, let's move away because it is viewpoints and we could do an entire show over the rise of a sleeping giant, etc. But let's have a look at... What's your viewpoint, please, Gray?
What I've got to say is I think... from what I'm gathering that you're talking about and what's happening, I think we're missing a point. You've got to put yourself in Russia's position. Now, Putin's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and we all know that, what happened in Salisbury and previous to that with Litvinenko. But if you were Russia and somebody said, right, there's potentially a NATO... a new NATO power that's going to be right on your border with American nukes, then you're not going to have that. And I think this won't go to war. It'll saber rattle for a few weeks and then everybody will roll back a bit. So we've got to see it from that point of view. And with regards to China, I mean, on a world stage, they're one of the most peaceful nations in the world. I mean, their track record on human rights is appalling within the country, but they've not caused major conflicts for probably 100 years.
Hong Kong!
So that was Rosalind saying Hong Kong, by the way, Greg.
Hong Kong!
I'm saying they're human rights. It's not a war, Rosalind, is it? Their human rights record is terrible, but
well, you said within China, but Hong Kong was not China.
Well, it is now.
Yeah,
so...
Because of their aggression. They closed down all the newspapers. They've imprisoned thousands.
Okay, so, Roslyn, when Hong Kong was handed over all those years ago by Patton, did we seriously expect that it would stay an absolute democracy when the rest of the nation is not? You know, people needed to adjust to where they actually were, and
there was an agreement,
the agreement was that it would remain the same for 15 years, which it did.
Oh, 50 sorry 50 not 15
I think it was 15 years
I'm sorry it? It's 50 I'm,
okay
2035
so, even that I'll be corrected on that, but even that, they've not, there is no war in Hong Kong. I mean, we're talking about a conflict now on a
They've just taken over all the rights. They've taken over everything in Hong Kong.
It's China. It's part of China.
They haven't abided by the agreement.
And Nora, what you've got... Okay. So when we have the conflict when all the students were out on the streets, being really honest, they absolutely made a rod for their own back because they were never, ever going to back down from that. They just weren't. And they had fair warning of what was going to happen and just continued with it regardless. So,
Tiananmen Square, yeah, that situation.
Not just You know, I'm talking about when the conflict last year with the students.
Ah, right, excuse me.
The umbrella.
They had fair warning what was going to happen. And you can't challenge a state like China and expect them just to be able to do exactly what you want. But no, with regards to Russia, you know, I heard Rosalind earlier saying, it's Russia's fault, it's Russia's fault, it's Russia's fault. But if you're going to have, you know, if all of a sudden Russia took France on board, for instance, and they were right on our borders with their nuclear weapons, I think we'd be feeling very differently to what a lot of people are feeling now.
I mean, one of the things, I suppose, that there'd be people have been drawing historical parallels with the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, which is now coming up to 60 years ago.
That's right. I mean, obviously, they were going to stick their nukes on Cuba. The Americans, quite rightly, weren't very happy about it. That nearly went to a war. Obviously, it rolled back. And this one will be exactly the same. This will roll back exactly the same as the other one. But I do think we need to really see both sides of the argument to where they're actually going. Yeah, Putin, is he perfect? Absolutely not. But I really don't think he's also the madman. He's not running North Korea. He's not the madman. He'll make a calculated decision.
Oh, he's not a madman.
Sorry?
He's not a madman. He's very calculating. No, I mean,
very calculating.
He's not a madman at all.
Gray, thank you so much for your call in. Have a good rest of your day. Good to hear from you, my friend, and take care.
Soon,
yeah, I hope so, my friend. Nice to speak to you. 952-784-1000, morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, it's Matthew again.
Matthew, good morning.
Really. I was born in Venezuela. It was a beautiful country. Today, we have a Wagner group, Russians, nearly 2,000 men. 25,000 Cuban officers, as officials, nearly 10,000 Chinese engineers, and a lot of more other strange troops stationed in Venezuela, the back door to USA. Nobody talks about that. That is strange to me. This is what I want to say.
Thank you for your calling. Yes, Rosalind.
Yeah, I agree. I find it very strange. There's so much on Africa, for example. There's so many programs on what's happening in Africa and music and everything else. And yet, there's no programs just centered on South American countries.
How do you mean programs? You mean like
weekly, regular, two or three times a week? There's a good half hour or 1 hour program
on what?
On Africa, various countries.
What, radio,
Senegal,
TV?
No, television. Right. Regular programs to do with Nigeria, Senegal, Kenya, South Africa, and prime time. And yet, there's no programs on all the countries in South America and what's happening there. I mean, what's happening in Colombia, for example? It's a very rich country. Venezuela, all these countries.
Well, I imagine
Brazil.
I imagine filming in yes, I mean, I'm not a commissioning editor, Ross, so I don't know. Let's go to some of the many emails, ways of communication. In fact, if you want to get in touch with us today on Viewpoint, on any of the variety of subjects we've had today.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Live to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's John again.
John.
Giles, yeah. That fellow was absolutely right. You know, he's looking into both sides sort of thing. But I can remember the when America said they didn't want the enemy on their doorstep, and Russia is saying the same thing. Now, not enough attention is being paid to these enclaves, because the Russians, for years, have been persecuted, the Russians in the Ukraine. And they've gone back to their own enclave, and they're still being put in the sand. They're not going to. We put boots on the ground in the Falklands to protect the British. And these people are saying the same. The Russians are saying the same thing. They want their people safeguarded. They're being absolutely persecuted. Statues pulled down. Not allowed to speak the language. So they've all gone back to one enclave, and there's not enough information about these enclaves. How they're being persecuted.
The
the Crimea has an ethnic, a Russian ethnic community, so they could go back into, if they wanted to, they could go back into Crimea, surely, the Russians, rather than saying...
No, they can't. No, there's certain places. No, they can't. They got a certain area where they've been lived in for years. Why can't they stay there? We certainly rushed into the Falklands, didn't we, to look after the British people.
We reacted to an invasion. It's an entirely different thing, surely, John.
No. Yes. No. They were looking after the British people. You could have brought all the people out of the Falklands for £1 million each without all those lives being lost.
Run that one by me again, because I must have been asleep during that particular lesson. Come on.
Sorry?
Where you got that million? We could have bought everybody.
No, that was years ago. They said this years ago. They didn't need that war in the Falklands. Lives lost, you know. And what was it for? It was for minerals.
For minerals, okay.
Oil, everything else. But right. What I'm saying basically is that the Russians
Somebody's
are entitled to go to their own ball. The West is running around like chickens with no heads. All of them.
Thank you very much for your call. I've got some more common calls coming in, but thank you very much for your call. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. There's only one reason why this is happening right at the moment. It's because the West is perceived to be probably at their weakest that they've ever been, or at least since World War II. The West seem to be in some sort of demise, and the rest of the world are taking advantage. If you recall rightly, when the Crimea was annexed, it was when Obama was president, and the vice president at the time happened to be Mr. Joe Biden, who's now president, as we all know, on the days he turns up. But also, he made, during that vice president's stint, he made 17 trips to the Ukraine. So this was always looking like it was going to be on the cards. And as other people have pointed out, and I agree with it, and I don't know how many times I've said on this, that we tore down the USSR because it was perceived to be dangerous, and then we built the European Union. And the 14 countries that the USSR lost, we seem to have gained, or Europe seemed to have gained. Now, with the UK pulling out of Europe, Germany dependent on Russia for gas, oil, and coal, the Hungarians, and the Polish are falling out with the European Union at the moment. So the European Union is so weak, it is untrue, and there's absolutely nothing they can do about it without the United States. And the United States are, at the moment, in my view, looking even weaker. Now,
it's the perfect time to test the borders, then, basically, isn't it?
Perfect time to test the borders, because they know that there's nothing they can... I mean, Biden's standing all day long saying what he can and can't do, but he will do absolutely nothing, and there is nothing he can do unless he wants to attack Russia, and Russia will leave that in his ballpark. They will tempt him to have a go, but there's nothing he can do. Now, it's weird that you got Roslyn on there, because Roslyn, I remember saying huge respect for Biden. And at the moment in America, Biden has troubles on the border. He has troubles with the midterms. He has troubles with his own party. He has trouble with the rest of the world. He has trouble with Taiwan. He has trouble with Hong Kong. So all this is being seen at the moment as a weakness of America. And the European Union can't do anything without America. So it's the perfect time for Russia to park their tanks on the border and let them know that they're still around. And we keep hearing this Putin being this despotic leader. He is democratically elected. So what has it got to do with us? And the US of A oversees everybody's elections. They go in and they oversee the elections, and they oversaw the Russian election. And as Putin said at the time, why don't we get to oversee your elections? And it would have been nice for him to oversee the one we've just had. So we have a very, very unstable world at the moment, and Putin's taken advantage of it, and so he should. And as it was pointed out by a couple of your previous callers, the promise was, when the European Union was put together, the promise was they would not park a NATO country on his border, and they are reneging on that. And if you want him to back his troops out of there, and if you want to stop this tomorrow, you say to the Ukraine, we will not invite you into NATO. Quite simple. Or we will not for 10 years, or we'll put it back for 20 years. It's quite simple. But you keep offering Ukraine into the club and then stick it on his border, what do you expect him to do? And as I said, he's a democratically elected leader.
Okay, Peter, thank you for your call in there. Interesting points. But yeah, I mean, as you said, it's an interesting time to have a poke to see what the West is going to do in this situation. The great
very
game,
interesting times. Very dangerous times we're living in, because the world is in such a state at the moment, I wouldn't even put it past someone to start a war to deflect from what's going on.
So, got some more calls coming in, Peter, but thanks for your time. Thanks very much, mate. Morning, caller. Thank you for holding. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jason. Well said, Peter. The hypocrisy in the world is immense, isn't it? Depends where you live and who you are. If you walk between the raindrops, are you painted as the boogeyman? Carry on where I left
off. I'm sorry, what was that last one?
The bogeyman.
Sorry, if you walk between the raindrops, you're painted as the boogeyman. Was that, well, is that some
bogeyman.
Yeah, and what's...
Or painted as... So you're painted as good or bad. It depends who you are, doesn't it? You know, if you're in the West and stuff, you're...
Is that your original... Is that your own quote, Jason? Because if not, if it is, I think you should paint him that, because that's brilliant. Go on.
I might do that.
I think you should do. I think there's a range of T-shirts coming out, never mind anything else. Anyway, please continue.
The hypocrisy is immense, isn't it? You know, Iran is a bad guy. Putin's always a bad guy. But what we've got is in America becoming increasingly insignificant in decline. What you've got is power play. America, or threat of war, or etc., is a good way of re-establishing your prowess on the world and your power base, etc. And also the European Union, Boris Johnson deflecting things away from himself. The European Union is behaving in an appalling way as well. The man's only protecting his borders. One thing everybody should be aware of, there is a written alliance between China and Russia of one-in-all-in policy as regards Taiwan or Ukraine. So if we pick a fight with Russia, we're picking a fight with China. That's a cast-iron agreement at the backdrop of all of this. So this is a very dangerous game that everybody's playing, and basically, rather than de-escalating it, we have words of consolidation, but we're escalating it, and it's the West that is at fault here, not President Putin, who is only doing what they did in the Cuban missile crisis. America is just protecting his borders. Promises have been reneged on, as Peter said. So it's the West that's behaving quite disgracefully. And the problem is, the world has changed so quick. This is what happens. On a people level, you've got a rebellion worldwide. On a political level, you've got people running around trying to reassert their impact upon the world in a very, very dangerous way. I'll just leave it there.
Thank you, okay? Jason. I've got some more calls coming in as well, but thank you for the thing in. And if you walk between the raindrops, then you're painted as the bogeyman. Thank you so much for that. Morning call, you're live on TRR. Thank you for TRE even. Thank you for calling. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
This is Gil from Calpe.
Morning, Gil.
I didn't listen to all the discussions, so I might be repeating things already said. Regarding Ukraine, in the east of Ukraine, the people are Russian. They speak Russian, and they are Russian Orthodox by religion. In the west of the Ukraine, the people are Catholic by religion, and they speak Ukrainian. It's really like two countries. I mean, eventually, they'll have to split it into two, and the Russian part will have to go to Russia, whatever happens. When they dissolved the Soviet Union 30 years ago, there wasn't time to do it properly. The whole thing happened too quickly. They had to divide the Soviet Union into 15 states according to the different republics that they already had. But that caused lots of problems because people found themselves on the wrong side. So it will have to happen eventually, I mean, whichever way we solve this crisis.
Presumably we go for a referendum then, Joe. I mean, wouldn't that be, you know, self-determination for those in that particular area, as the callers seem to be suggesting, that there are, you know, Russians speak, or there are Russians, you know, almost trapped in eastern Ukraine who want to return to the motherland?
Yes, I think the Ukrainian government is not allowing it. That is the problem. They had even a fist fight in the Ukrainian parliament over it, you know. They were thinking of also doing, like, having two official languages and something like that. It is the Ukrainian who are not allowing it. That is the proper way to do it.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you very much, Gil, for your call in there. Good to hear from you as well. Going to take a short break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Joined in the studio by Rosalind Scott-Gibb. Hold your horses 1 second, Rosalind. If you want to get involved with the show.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And let's go to the WhatsApps, why don't we? With regards to the Ukraine splitting in two, does that extend to Northern Ireland? Question marks. You'd love to throw curveballs at me, don't you? Thank you so much for that one. Right then, here we go. At least China are buying these nations. I recall the UK just used to act. Roz, 1 second, please. I know you're chomping at the bit. Let me get through my WhatsApps, okay? And then we've got 28 minutes. Okay, so at least China are buying them. I recall if we had the webcam, you'd see Rosalind Scott-Gibb raring to go. The UK just used to invade, pillage and enforce cricket and tier three upon them. Marlene should be grateful she's not seeing the UK make cheap plastic tat for China just yet. Meanwhile, Charlie are in North Mali, Taiwan, Vietnam, issues with India, Tibet, loads of problems. To be fair, Hong Kong was ceded in 1997. At the same time, the British Empire died. He's not a madman, just don't call him Poo. No one talks about strange troops. It's about Venezuela. Strange troops, doesn't he mean comrades? No one talks about Venezuela because it's irrelevant. Another South American basket case. I'll keep that one anonymous. Rich country, well, yes. Protect the British. British what? Sheep. Okay. If the EU was created, then there were no nations on the Russian border. Laugh out loud, a referendum is about the Ukraine deciding, because they go well, don't they? Meanwhile, check out the repeats of Born Free Rod. Okay. And also Ray's come in. Well, that's my day ruined. Team GB lost out on that's my day ruined. Team GB lost out on a bronze medal in curling. Right then. If you want to get involved with today's show, then these are the contact numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And 26 minutes to go in the show. Roslyn.
Yeah, I agree with Peter in the fact that definitely Putin is very calculating, patient. I mean, he's ex-KGB. So this is a very good time to do exactly what he's doing. He's chosen his timing extremely well to be aggressive. He is not being defensive. He is definitely being aggressive. Now, just one comment on it was not a democratic election. He either put them in prison or killed
it's Russian style democracy, but you know,
yeah, okay.
Peter made the point that, well, hey, you know, the Russians weren't allowed to look at the American election,
exactly. Okay, anyway, I'm just moving on. As for President Biden, I have to say, I, like many other people, are extremely disappointed in the way he's handled a number of important international affairs. For example, Afghanistan was a terrible, terrible mess, a great disappointment. So he's only holding on by his fingernails at the moment. And as far as the Chinese, okay, what you're saying is they're buying up Africa. Yes, exactly. I mean, Zimbabwe sold, the trouble is, anyway, they sold not only the minerals, they sold the mines to China, and China bought them. So they are buying up countries around the world, and a lot of Africa. They're just buying everything.
So, I mean, that is the word, or just investing, I think the word. I mean, they're investing
in infrastructure. It's not investing. No, it's not. This is beyond investing. They build the roads and
yeah, that's infrastructure. That's I mean, they're investing in the infrastructure of these places. That's where you go. Africa, of course, an area where you have particular expertise I mean, you know, Kenya, for example. Look at the road and rail links that have been put in there, and you know.
That's okay. No, they build the infrastructure because they need it in order to carry out, take over all the businesses. That's why they built the infrastructure, not to help the country in any way. And as I say, they buy the mines. They now own all the mines in many countries, also in West Africa. When I was in Liberia, they were in the process of buying up a tin mine, I think it was.
9527840000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning, Sharon Alicante.
Good morning, Sharon.
I learned a lot this morning from various people. To use a Trump expression, there are faults on both sides. I think Cookie had a point when she talked about continuing to poke the bear. I think that the West does, on the whole, have a kind of an arrogant attitude towards countries like Russia and China. Let's not forget, by the way, that China is getting these countries into debt. It's not just buying them up, it's making them pay back some of it as well. So you've got and then Marlene had a point when she said countries like the UK and America have to have an enemy. Nothing is more convenient for Bodger at the moment than having this. That's a side issue, I know, but it is, you know, a convenient thing for him at the moment.
I mean, when you saw Boris Johnson going over to the Ukraine, did you think, oh, this is going to help the situation, or this is just Boris, you know, trying to deflect, you know, throwing a Ukrainian dead cat on the table?
The latter. I mean, I just don't trust the man anymore. I compared the diplomacy that came from Macron and compared that with the lack of diplomacy that's coming from America and Britain. I just think, yes, of course, the European Union and the West have lessons to learn. And yes, Putin is a dangerous man. This is a tricky situation. But what do you call dangerous? Do you call poking the bear dangerous? Do you call having to have an enemy dangerous? I do. And I think there's an awful lot of nuances in this discussion that people miss. And I think we have to check very, very carefully because we are living in dangerous times at the moment, and look at how we messed up Libya, Afghanistan, and all those other Middle Eastern countries and Syria. We've just messed up continually, and we seem to be using the same type of language and look as though we're about to mess up again. The West, I'm talking about now. But nobody dragged Poland and Hungary out of Russia. They wanted to join the European Union, by the way. That was a voluntary thing done through elections. So to say that we took Putin's land off him and gave it to the European Union, it wasn't like that, was it? They voted to have their own countries within the European Union. That's all I've got to say, really.
Sharon, thanks for that. It's a breaking news, sad news. Bamba Gascoigne, the original host of University Challenge in the UK, has died after a short illness at 87. That just breaking. Bamba Gascoigne, the original host of BBC's University Challenge, has died after a short illness. Just breaking news at age 87. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. It's Alf.
Morning, Alf.
Glad that I'm speaking at a converted... What did they call you? Was it a Marxist or a...
I'm going for the Trotsky because it helps break the ice.
And then you come out last week and said you were a Tory. That surprised me. You kept it secret from me all these years.
As I said last week, you know, I was a Conservative with a small C.
There's no such thing.
That's enough about me. It's not all about me, Alf.
He's a climate changer.
All right then. Anyway, good. So how are things in the People's Republic of Alf? And what we got today?
Absolutely, People's Republic of Newham. I came from, and we so loved it.
Right.
First of all, John shouldn't get away with saying this is all the fault of the immigrants, you know, the reduction of people going to churches. You know, it's been going on, as Roz said. Oh, good morning, Roz. It's been going on for years and years and years, and it's a decline, and you can't keep churches open if you've got nobody going in, putting money in their boxes. In my case, it was the nuns coming to the door with a little white envelope that my parents were expected to put money in to keep the church going. Roman Catholic Church. I was not a Roman Catholic. I'm an atheist by birth, I think. Well, I'm an atheist. That's good enough.
Fair enough.
But it was all about, and education in schools went into decline. I remember being excluded from doing RI or whatever it was called because I was put down, my parents put down I was Roman Catholic, and I went to a UK state school and they said, you can't come into RI because it's not your religion. I just don't believe it. Multi-faith teaching today is much better because it teaches our youngsters about the differences between all of the religions and all the good that the religions do, and doesn't concentrate on all the nasty bits, and you know, all these Asians are wrong, all these Arabs are wrong, all these Muslims are wrong. It doesn't do that. Multi-faith teaching is so much better, but it's got to carry on. It's got to be higher profile. So, and that's not the reason, because if it was about immigration, the biggest single thing that affected where I lived in the East End of London was the pubs closing. It wasn't because the immigrants forced the closure of the pubs. It's because the immigrants didn't use the pubs. There was nobody to use. How do you keep a pub going when you've got nobody behind, you know, in front of the bar? It doesn't work like that. You know, the economy drives these changes. Go out to Essex and they've got hundreds of new type pubs, restaurant pubs and things like that, because that's where white flight took the whiteies. And that's, you know, as simple as that. Also, I don't know who it was. Was it Peter? We tore down the USSR. Did they not understand that that was a people's uprising? It wasn't just the USSR, by the way. It sort of started on the fringes of the USSR with all those satellite states who were saying,
we're fed up with having
to do... Poland. You know, Poland was a big issue. We had, when I was doing my union stuff, we had people from Solidarnosc over, you know, loads of things. Yes, we assisted the people to say we don't want this sort of rule anymore. And I will defend, as much as it's horrible, nasty, and what Putin's done and what others do, they have got a democracy in Russia because they do have elections. The fact that the people accept, like in the States, like elsewhere, the fact that the people accept the results unchallenged, so be it. But as far as it's concerned, and it isn't the Americans who go in and look, it's an international group that go in and look. Labour Party people, Tories, people from the Electoral Commission in the UK, they went over to the, and they go over to most elections around the States. They go to Australia, they go to America, and they watch what's happening to make sure that if there are complaints, they're dealt with by an independent body. And my last thing, and if people don't understand it was a people's uprising, you can still go to Moscow and see the tank sitting outside the parliament with its turret aimed at the parliament building, because it was a people's uprising.
Wasn't that the one that Yeltsin leapt on as well at some point back in
the day? That was the tank.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's the same tank, but you go there and there's the tank sitting up at the parliament with a turret pointing at the parliament. I remember the television... watching it on the news with all the pockmarks in the walls.
I think we all do, and reading, thinking, what on earth's going to happen now? Alf?
And last but not least...
Okay, leave him with a laugh, Alf.
One last thing. All this stuff about China are buying this and China are buying that. And China are doing what the UK did, what America did years ago. If people remember, you'll do this because this was about cars... racing cars a little bit, but cars, it was Goodyear. Goodyear had all of the rubber plantations in Southeast Asia, and they refused to sell the rubber to the Americans because the Americans were undermining the British car industry. So what did the Americans do? They went and bought an African country, effectively turned it into a rubber plantation, and undermined it.
Rosalind's asking which one, Alf?
Bridgestone.
Oh, which country? Yes.
Oh, I can't remember. It's a banana plantation now because they couldn't sustain the rubber.
Right.
But they bought the country, created a rubber plantation. I think it's Bridgestone Tyres were the main recipients from it, and that undermined the stranglehold that the UK had with Goodyear and the Southeast Asian rubber plantations. You know, countries will do what they've got to do in order to survive. And 40 years ago, China couldn't buy copper anywhere in the world. Couldn't buy it. They weren't allowed to buy it because all of the Western countries were buying up the copper because they thought that's where the future of telecommunications was, and they needed the copper to put in the ground to provide the communications. The fact that we have this glass fibre now is irrelevant, but at the time. So why is it not understandable that the Chinese are going to do what they are stopped from doing? You know, they have the world's biggest, I think it is now, biggest air conditioning plants in the world.
Right.
Because they couldn't buy them from anywhere else in the world, and they never had the technology inside China. So they bought up bits. They bought up an American company that operated in the UK and Belgium, and they shipped over the stuff to China. They got their engineers to strip it down. The only thing they couldn't cope with was welding the copper tubing to make the stuff that makes it go from hot to cold and cold to hot. And that's the only thing that they couldn't do. Once they'd mastered that, they just took over the industry. Why should they be beholden to an American company operating out of Belgium, providing them with air conditioning units that go on? We're not talking about indoors. We're talking about the ones on the top of bank buildings.
Got a few calls coming in, Alf. So listen, good to
nice to talk to you.
You too. Take care. Stay
good
safe.
Good programme. Well done, Ros.
Thanks, Alf.
From the People's Republic of Newham as well. There we go. 952-78-4000. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
John, Alf, get your facts right, because I never mentioned immigrants closing churches down. I mentioned immigrants where the people didn't feel safe working. So get your facts right, Alf, before you sort of criticise me.
Thank you very much for your call in there. Right, 952-78-4000. Please. Let's go live to the lines again. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, caller. Here we go.
Peter again.
Sorry, Peter, there you are. Sorry, I lost you for a minute, my friend. Sorry about that.
Okay, no worries. So Al thinks because the Americans and the British did it, then it's okay for the Chinese to do it. So I always was taught that two wrongs don't make a right, so I can't see what anyone can okay what China are doing. What Sharon and others touched on, exactly right. They're not buying anything. They're going into countries and they're lending them money, and they're making them pay back at extortionate rates till they actually own the country. Now, it's the people, the taxpayers, that have to pay that back, not the governments. And the governments at the moment around the world are bending over backwards and taking the money from these countries. Hence, this is why this talk going back to Russia with the Ukraine and places like that. As I said, Biden went out there 17 times. The Ukraine folded to the West for financial reasons, nothing else. And now their people want, as Gil put it, they want a vote, but they won't allow them a vote. So, and as for Alf saying that, you know, democracy and not accepting, does he include Brexit on that? Because I think that should be put on the shelf. It's done and dusted, voted and done for. But how would people feel if Boris was ousted tomorrow, Labour came in and decided to put us back in the European Union without a vote? Now, that would be against democracy. What if Russia decided then that they thought they should back the British who'd voted to be out of Europe? So where does it end?
Indeed.
So, as I say, two wrongs don't make a right. What the Americans and what the British did years ago was of a time and of an era, but it's certainly not right now for what the Chinese are doing. And as a famous Afghan leader once said, you have all the watches, we have all the time.
Aha! That one. Very good indeed. I've got some more calls coming in, Peter. Thanks for that. Points well made. 952.
Point being is the time is right for them at the moment. So, no matter how many watches the rest of the West has got, the time is right for the rest of them.
Going to go to some more calls, Peter. Thanks for the calls in. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Felix here.
Felix. Good morning to you.
You're very faint, Giles.
How's that?
I barely hear you every day that I ring up. It's a bit of a problem for me, but I will just continue on. Anyway, remember that for some reason the line to your studio is faint. Everywhere else I ring, absolutely clear. There's something wrong on your side.
Well.
Look, every time Alf rings up, he makes a snide comment about climate change.
He didn't today.
Every time.
But he didn't today.
But climate change is something that is going to be...
Yeah.
It's going to be the biggest issue ever facing the human race, provided we avoid a thermonuclear war between America, Europe, and who else? Britain. And either China or Russia.
Right.
This is a terrible danger. But anybody who makes snide remarks about climate change, or who doesn't talk about climate change, or who advocates, like your guest there, Rosalind, the idea of bringing liquid gas by ship across from America, or even talk about gas being used, not providing an answer is a big, big problem for us today. Because if you want to check out what I'm saying, check out Madagascar this past few years, what's been happening there, and a terrible, terrible poverty and problems that's existing now in the world through drought, flooding, etc., in the poorest of countries in the world. So a person like Alf, being a socialist, should not make snide remarks about climate change. Speak
Felix,
up.
Thank you.
Make your points about climate change, Alf.
Thank you very much for your call, Felix. I've got... Felix,
bye.
Thank you very much. That was Felix, ladies and gentlemen. Taking a short break, and then we're into the last 5 minutes or so of Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Into the last 4 minutes and 43 seconds. So here we go on the studio at TRE.radio. Hi, Giles. It was the ECB in Germany who forced the Greek government to sell off most state assets and close down large chunks of its rail system, which admittedly was out of date and loss-making, but fulfilled an important social need. The Chinese have reinvented the Greek rail system with support for the OSE and new rail lines and high-speed trains, principally to rebirth Thessaloniki. Thessaloniki, and excuse me to everybody who's laughing at my pronunciation, as a major European port, but hopefully in the future to restart services in the Peloponnese, thus reversing years of neglect in favour of roads under the EU. Viva la Chinese. Thank you, David. I'm not sure I've ever heard that one before. Sorry if it didn't hear me well, but I never made snide remarks, let alone about climate change. Not everybody wants to talk about the issue all the time. I wasn't condoning what China are doing, just pointing out they're using the same tactics to get what they want. Thank you, Alf. Meanwhile, Jason, the West is becoming an authoritarian bully, a more authoritarian bully on all fronts, levels, with its own populace and against the East. Thank you, Jason. Pompey. Here we go. Ms. Gibbs seems to miss Trump. The sparkle's gone, Rosalind. Now she's disliking Biden. I love those curveballs I'm throwing to you. Funny those critics slagging off the free West live in the free West. Think on the USSR died because the West USA outspent a system that killed millions. Would love to know what history lessons. I know for a fact he'd never done geography like me with spelling. Ah, says a different Peter. Nice to see that the Peter and Alf loving hasn't ended. Thank you, Peter. That brought a wry smile to my chiseled and somewhat cynical features. Now let's have a look quick like this. Okay, Richard says the UK stole. That's the difference anymore. That denotes that Sharon trusted him previously. The Church of England relies on those donations, having said that they have billions stashed away in Swiss banks. When he said nuns used to turn up, I thought the craze they sounded like, didn't they? An envelope you will pay, otherwise the Mother Superior will be around to see you. Also, the UK did this. I would be delighted if Labour put the EU, Britain back in the EU. On that point, I think Richard has done for the second at the moment. Just checking some more bits and pieces coming in. Just intercepted communications obtained by Washington is coming in, have revealed that some Russian officials think a major invasion of Ukraine would be costlier and more difficult than Putin and other Kremlin leaders realize. Thank you for that. Right. Roz, you've got 1 minute and 54.
Well, I'd take Biden any day over Trump, who is still busily tearing up documents and sending them down to Florida. It's in the Constitution that you're not allowed to tear up or destroy any documents. And he's busy doing this. In the meantime, still yelling about white racism as he prepares for another
show with another
election. No, I'd rather have Biden. And that's about all from me.
I mean, Peter made this comment, and you know, and Claudia's made this comment as well. But you know, for a Democratic president, I mean, Biden was vice president when the U.S. invaded, and Biden's now president here, and he's making these war noises, and as Peter said, when he shows up, I mean, he has been, I'm not going to say lame duck, but he's certainly limping, surely.
Well, I have to agree, he hasn't shown up the way I would have hoped he would. He's been kind of a disappointment, but still, he's better than Trump, and I think he's more honest. Mm. And we may still, unfortunately, Trump may live another day to come back into power. Imagine. And in the meantime, he's collecting all kinds of money. People keep sending him donations, which he is stashing away for himself.
He's got a growing family to support.
Yeah.
You know, the daughters, etc. Yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly onwards, Roslyn, we are almost out of time. You know, if Trump gets re-elected, Roslyn, I mean, it gives us a whole new lease of life for Viewpoint over the next 5 to 6 years.
I'm going to turn off all my media connections.
Right then, Roslyn Scott-Gibb, it has been great to have you in the studio. Thank you so much.
A pleasure as always.
Right then, ladies and gentlemen, good to have you here with Viewpoint today. It was always live, it was always lively. I'll be back tomorrow morning with Let's Talk. Of course, this show will be repeated at 7 o'clock tonight, so you can listen back for your pleasure and leisure. I just think the Al from Peter Loving comment from the other Peter has made my day today. I'll be back tomorrow. Yes, I will, with Let's Talk from 10 o'clock. Stephen Ritson and Europe Today are up next. Have a great rest of your day.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.